Index Podcast.
Hey, thanks for listening to Up Next Podcast. It's your host, Victor Castaldo, and today my guest is Joe Feaser. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, Victor, how's it going?
Good, good. We met recently at your house at Nick Youngerman's release party.
Yeah, and that was a great event.
Definitely, and the album will be out by the time we air this, so check that out. I'll provide some links if anybody needs them. So we got to talking about a few different things, and we kind of create different stuff in different ways. So can you tell us your story and what you create, what you want to create?
Well, when I graduated, I went to work for an office supply company in Piqua, and I worked there my whole life, and in 2000 had the opportunity to purchase it.
Yeah.
And we owned it for 18 years, and then my business partners were at their retirement age. So,
yeah. So,
you know, I thought, well, okay, I don't really want to, at that point, do I buy them out or do we sell? So we chose to sell, and I went to work for the company that bought us, which is Office 360 out of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Very, very large independent dealer. In fact, one of the top five independent dealers in the country. So I went to work for them as a salesman, and you know, I've always been interested in YouTube and creating videos, and
I do
fishing videos, and so I thought, man, how can I make that work to get for, you know, for the office supply business?
Right.
So I created a channel called The OG Office Guy. And it's fairly new. It's about 2 months old, and that's what we got to talking about that night.
Yeah.
And we kind of hit it off on that.
Yeah.
So, but my ultimate goal is my passion is the outdoors. So I want to create a channel that's surrounds itself around the outdoors. I mean, I'm a bass fisherman. I fish tournaments, but I want to do everything outdoors, you know, even like, you know, recipes for cooking, different outdoor meat, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where I kind of want to go with this, you know, but it's all new, and you know, I'm 55 years old. So the whole YouTube learning how to create videos,
edit them.
Yeah. It's all new to me.
So, how is it compared to what you thought when you went into this? Like, do you think you're getting how much engagement compared to what you thought, or?
So when I look at the first five videos I did for the OG channel, I know right away that I need, I'm shooting them on a GoPro, you know, and a GoPro 4 at that.
Yeah.
I bought an Acasso. I forget what I think it's an Acasso 4. It's like, I guess, a knockoff of the GoPro, but it shoots really good. But the microphone doesn't work very well. So I just kind of have that sometimes shooting like a different angle, but I definitely use the GoPro. But what I've learned is that I'm definitely going to need to up my game on a camera at some point. You know, probably get one like V's got, you know.
Yeah.
So he's got all the good stuff, but he never lets me use it.
Yeah, but maybe you can learn from him if he's got the same one as you or something. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not even sure what model he has, but I mean, he's been in here shooting Nick, hasn't he?
Like, yeah.
That's why
he did another video for, I believe he shot a Black Tribe music video in here where he did like a studio music video thing. But I was out of town. Somebody else was here pretending to engineer the session. It's pretty funny. So how do you think you can make the outdoor content unique compared to, you know, a lot of other people doing things about fishing or hunting?
Well, there's a lot of outdoor channels. There's a lot of fishing channels.
Right.
Tons of them. I might try to blend, you know, take the OG name and go that way.
Mm-hmm.
OG goes outdoors or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, again, it's still all in the creating stages.
Right.
I'm close, but I'm working on building the website for that specific channel. I just think that it's going to have to take something special to make it grow quickly.
Right.
And to say that I have that answer right now, I don't, but I'm constantly thinking about it.
Yeah. I think even somebody else who has another outdoor channel, or like, I don't know if you've heard of Tarzan, but he's this guy who like actually has like, he swims with saber-tooths, or not saber-tooths, but like big cats and elephants and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, I'm not doing that, Victor.
But no, but you have him feature on, you know, you could, you know, might take something to get it happening, but you know, I think that's one way for video content people, because they'll automatically watch it, because you'll say with whoever it is, or if not, then you could always talk about some big event, like the, I don't know, some tournament that just happened, or like a record fish caught out in the Pacific or something like that. Talk for about something else that's popular. I think that could help.
Well, and the other thing is I have a lot of contacts, you know, in the outdoor world per se.
Yeah.
I mean, I just got back from Florida and went tarpon fishing with Nick. It's called Fisher Tarpon Charters, and Nick is the probably one of the best tarpon guides down there. And I've went with him probably five times and have yet to catch a tarpon. I've had him on, but I finally got one this last trip, so that was pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
But you know, I mean, there's different things I want to feature, and different. I don't want it to be all about fishing.
Right.
I want it to be about hunting. And, you know, like there's a good friend of mine that used to play in a band actually with me. He had a passion for making bows, you know?
Yeah.
The kind that,
longbow?
Yeah, longbows.
And yeah.
So he started this deal out in his garage, and now it's become this pretty big company. It's called Striker Bows.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Minster, Ohio, you know. I've already talked to him about, hey, let's do a collaboration, because his son Dusty is kind of in charge of all their social media, and he does all that. So going back to a point you made a minute ago, is that I think that when you're doing videos and all music and everything, I don't think it hurts to collaborate with somebody.
Right.
In fact, I think it's probably a good thing, you know.
Right. Right.
For both parties.
Right. I mean, it's just like the podcast gives people a way to learn about you, but also people who maybe follow your channel and then you post and share, they check out my stuff.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That sort of cross-pollination collaboration stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of gets in their head about, I don't want to do it because he does this or whatever. But like I said, even just having somebody on there, or, you know, whatever your name will be, goes to Striker Bows.
Right.
And like,
right,
you show how they fit you for a bow, or
exactly
what draw weight to use, or stuff like that.
Well, and that's why I was stoked when we were talking at Nick's release party.
Yeah.
You know, you told me you had this, and you said something if I'd be interested. I'm like, heck yeah, man, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
Definitely, definitely appreciate you being here. you know, what interests you about doing the outdoor channel more so than something else that you could create video content wise?
Well, I've looked at, you know, a big thing. I've been studying for probably, I don't know, 6 months now, different creators on YouTube, and they all talk about, you got to have a niche that's
definitely
important.
Definitely.
That ranks in all the way. I think it's what SEO ratings, rankings, and all that. So outdoors fishing and all that, it definitely ranks up there. So, but that also means there's a lot more competition.
Right.
So I just think that with the passion that I've had for fishing for 30 years, probably even longer, I think that, you know, that it led me, it was almost a, you need to do this type thing.
Yeah.
So
you think you've learned a lot in those years to talk about like different types of bait or different places to go and tips you could tell people.
Yeah. So a funny story, and it's kind of a quick story, but the year that we bought Francis Soft Supply was in 2000, and 2 or 3 years before that, I really had a dream of trying to fish professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that time, I had actually gotten a boat sponsor, a motor sponsor, and had three companies that had sponsored me: Owner Hooks, Charlie Brewer, Slider Worms, and I, I forget the third one, but so I had decided that, you know, hey, I want to try to, I think I can do this.
Yeah.
So I sent a resume to the Bass Pro Shop Corporation and thought, I'm going to try to, you know, see if I can do something here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got the name of the guy, and back then email was just, you know, kind of coming on. It wasn't, it was there, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
So you had to still send everything by
hard copies.
Yeah. Mail. Yeah. So I sent this resume in, and it was about a month long process, but long story short is I actually got a deal with them. And I was going to be, they were just building the Detroit, Michigan store, or the Michigan, I don't know if it's exactly in Detroit, but the Michigan location.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me and told me that, you know, and it was a pretty good deal. I was going to be based out of that because mm-hmm. the Ohio store wasn't built yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sent me the contract, and I had the contract in my hand. And about 2 days after I got the contract from Bass Pro Shop is the day that Mr. Francis came to me and said, hey, I'm going to sell the store, and I want you and my two business partners to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it was, that would have been a huge risk to go try to become a professional bass fisherman,
right,
where buying the off supply store was a risk, but not as great a risk.
Right.
So
right.
I had to make a, man, that was probably the hardest phone call I think I've made in my life, calling that guy and saying, hey, I appreciate you sending this to me, but yeah, I just can't do it, you know? So kind of, it was neat that I had the opportunity, but yet I chose, you know, to, which I'm glad I did, but
yeah.
So I think I have some, you know, knowledge that goes along with, I'm not just going to get on YouTube and film fishing videos, because like I said, those are a dime a dozen. Everybody does that.
Yeah.
I want to give content that's going to help somebody, whether it be, like I said, in fishing, hunting, camping.
Yeah. Setting up a tent the right way. I mean, nobody, there might be videos of people doing that, but it feels like nobody really knows the right way.
Yeah.
The fastest way, or how to do it in the rain, or, you know, I don't
exactly
know, something like that.
I mean, there's all kinds of, if you just think about the outdoors in general.
Yeah.
I mean, even hiking, you know, these are the best hiking shoes to go on a hike with, you know, or I don't know. I keep, every time I think of something, I jot it down, you know, just and think, okay, this is going to be, you know. Another thing I thought is that, like, you know, if you're going to go on a small expedition or slash vacation and you want to go, you know, where's the best lake to go to for 3 or 4 days to try to take my kid fishing, you know, my 6-year-old kid, where can he catch fish at? Things like that. So
if someone were to ask you that, where would you suggest around here someone could go to a nice
lake? Well, a few years ago, I would have said Kentucky Lake, but it's kind of, the Asian carp have kind of taken that thing over, and it's kind of went downhill a little bit. Honestly, if someone had a boat that, or they hired a guide, I mean, Lake Erie is a pretty good lake. I mean, and it's 3 hours from, you know, from here. So.
What about locally? Where do you see a lot of people going?
You know, Indian Lake's pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of pressure and a lot of there's a lot of boats on Indian Lake, like all the time, jet skis. And just because when St. Mary's had the water problem that they had, you know, all those people that used to, but it used to kind of even out, you know, half was on St. Mary's and half was on Indian. But now it's like everybody goes to Indian.
And what city is Indian Lake in?
It's, well, I call it Russell's Point, but it's, I'm technically, I don't know what city for sure it's in. I mean, it's Russell Point, you know, I mean, it's the, I guess it would be the southwestern corner of Indian Lake.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm not real sure what.
It's near St. Mary's though, right?
No, do you know where Jackson Center is?
Yeah.
It's that way. So if you go through Jackson Center and go up to 235 and turn left, you'll run pretty much right into it.
So they're both up north, but St. Mary's
one's
is more west.
East and one's one's more west.
Okay.
But from my house or from Troy or for even from where you live, it's about the pretty much about the same distance either lake.
Okay. I have a neighbor who has a pretty nice speedboat, I guess. And he takes his kids to Indian Lake like every other weekend or something.
They like go tubing.
Yeah.
And see, you know, that kind of stuff too. I mean, that's outdoors, you know? Yeah. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to limit it to just fishing.
Right.
Even though that's what I'd like to do, but I'm not going to do that.
I think it'd be cool if like doing, even if it's shorter videos, but like, or like live videos, but like videos of you water skiing or something crazy, just
with a fishing pole.
Yeah. Do something. You gotta do something extra.
Yeah.
Cause there's already people skiing. There's already people fishing, but who's doing both?
Right.
Stuff like that. But I think that not that it'd be easy, but it's very doable for what you're trying to do because like, if you think about it as someone making music, then you try to be unique. Well, everybody thinks they're a unique artist, but like nobody's really trying to be a very unique, it seems like, fisherman as much, or a hunter, or, you know, archer or something like that.
Well, and I'll tell you, if you watch the pros, the Elite Series guys, and man, they're all really, really good at social media now. Mm-hmm. And 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I don't know that you could say that, but boy, they got it dialed in now, which is good. I mean, it's good for their brand, you know?
Yeah. Well, you kind of are your brand on those things, right? So maybe they got to be, they found a way to be funny, or they found a way to have some other like pathos connection with the audience and something deeper than just this is how you stick a worm on the hook. I mean, so I definitely agree with that. It's a lot of people have figured out, sports players have figured out, wow, I tweet this, I stay relevant, gets my contract higher because I bring more people to the game. Like, it's not so simple as just do the job anymore.
Right.
If you're going to have social media, which some places you have to, then.
Well, and some of those guys, you know, like you and I might be putting the same video on our iPhone about the same product or same type of product. Mm-hmm. But you're going to do, and I follow them all on Instagram. So you know, you might do it a different way than me, and I'll watch both of them just because, you know?
Yeah.
So those guys have definitely stepped up their game
Who are some famous outdoors accounts that you think have somewhat like, you know, maybe not expert opinions, but solid advice for people?
Well, I'm a big fan of Gerald Swindell. He's actually from Alabama, and he makes it funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometime you get a chance, just YouTube or search him on YouTube. Mm-hmm. He's pretty funny. I think he really does good. There's just a ton of them. A lot of the Lee Livesey, he's a young and upcoming guy. He does really good, and I'm not 100% sure I said his last name correct, but Livesey or Livesey, I don't know.
It sounds French. Yeah. Is he from the South?
Yeah, I think he's from Louisiana. But, you know, just there's a ton of the guys that just get after it, you know. But mostly the young guys are more willing to put on, they post a lot more often than guys like my age, you know.
Yeah.
But like on my Instagram, I try to post at least once a week, if not twice a week. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes if I post more than that, I feel like, man, am I oversaturating it, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess it's not, because I get the likes, you know? I mean, I started out about 3.5 months ago, I had like 100 followers, and I talked to Kyle about it, and I'm like, man, I want to organically grow this. Mm-hmm. And so in about 3 months, I just got 1,000 followers. So
that's good.
Yeah. I mean, in 3 months organically, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So
what's your Instagram now that we're talking about
it's JL Feaser Fishing. And then the one for my OG channel is The OG Office Guy.
Is that on Instagram or just?
Yeah. YouTube? That's on Instagram as well.
And YouTube.
Yeah. YouTube.
Cool. So do you think you would continue doing this office show as well, or what would you think about that?
Yeah, so I think so. I think I would like to continue to do that. As long as I can. I mean, I will definitely, you know, you and I talked earlier, that, you know, I should try to cross them over a little bit. Maybe not a whole bunch, but, you know. Yeah,
a little bit.
And once I get the outdoor channel up, I think I will try to do that. But yeah, I mean, I like doing, my thing is that I like trying to save people money.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to overpay for, or have to buy a, overpay for a chair, or have to buy a chair twice because they made the wrong choice and bought something that's going to break in a year. You know, pay another $20, $30, $40 and get something that's going to last, as opposed to, you know, something that's going to break on you.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a good friend of mine who fishes, and he got impatient and he wanted a chair. So he ordered it off of the big site, you know, where I'm talking about. And he paid like, I don't know, $119 for it. And I told him, I said, dude, I could have got you a chair that was a lot better quality for about $40 more. He said, "Oh, I was impatient." Well, he called me like a week later, and it broke, which is typically what happens. So that to me, I've always been of the mindset and the philosophy, and probably it's my age, that I think, you know, I want someone to get something that's going to be right for what they need at a price that they're not overpaying, or right. They feel like they, you know, got ripped off.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that we always did things. And I've always done it that way. So that, to me, if I can continue to do, you know, product reviews and help people go, if they're looking for a specific ABC product and I've got a video on it, it'll help them make the right choice.
Right.
So,
right. I mean, I made I think I told you about this, but I started doing some like electronic reviews, and I did a speaker video, and that got like 3,000 plays, which none of my music videos have like 200 plays.
I know.
So you start to figure out what works. Then of course I dove way too far in that and did another speaker, iPhone, a bunch of stuff. And those got like 60 views. But for some reason, you know, those speakers are something that it's like a budget pair of monitors. So people will always look those up. And they're kind of always been known as like probably the best for about $100.
Yeah.
And that's really nothing to be able to actually make beats on. I mean, I wouldn't recommend doing the final mix. You could do the final mix on them. I did some mixes on them, but you kind of have to have a trained ear to use those.
But if a guy was just starting out,
You know, you can get the audio interface I was telling you about. That's $100. You can get the speakers for $100. And if you already have a computer, you're kind of there. Maybe another little bit on software, but, you know, so that's kind of similar to what you're saying. I mean, I feel the same about, that's why my rates are low per hour. I'd rather you get more songs done here than come in for two songs and not six, because that's all you could afford.
Right.
Rather you get more songs done and be in here more for that same money than
doing less. And I think you and I talked the night of Nick's party was that, you know, you got people that are driving here now from, you know,
distance.
And that's awesome, man. That's something that I think that, you know, Miami County or even Shelby County or, as needed. We needed a studio for somebody to be creative in. And but you know, people are, you can probably answer this better than me, but I think a lot of younger people are making beats and doing all this stuff on their computers. But and while it's good maybe to put on a YouTube channel, the final product is not what you're gonna get in here for sure.
Right.
So,
and I encourage people, like, I don't discourage them from having a home setup, or maybe eventually phasing into thinking, I'm just going to do it there and send it to me for mixes or whatever.
Yeah.
But because then you can come in and have a real draft and not be like, you don't even have the beat ready and you're not sure if it's fully, you'll know if you wrote enough verse because you already have recorded to it and it filled it.
Yeah.
And you'll have something to show me for what you want, but it needs a better mix and we'll retake it. And so I encourage people to do that. And that's why I started doing the home studio consults, because I understand people don't think they need to come here because they have their own home studio. I would have loved to have this as a client a couple years ago, but I would have been in my head saying, I don't know if I should pay because I got my own studio.
Yeah.
So I understand that because I've had like 6 home studios in my life already. I still have one now. And I like doing different stuff there. I was telling my friend, I like making beats at home better, even though this is a better room with better speakers.
Sure.
Better computer. I still like it at home. It's just what that's music's really a lot of creating is based on a vibe. So
yeah, right.
Maybe you feel so comfortable outside, you're more likely to make better content.
Yeah.
People want authentic, really you. You know what I mean? And
well, and my hopes is that, you know, when I get my website built, I'm gonna mix the video with a blog as well. So
yeah.
You know, like I said, like, you know, do your favorite fish recipe or something. You know, I mean, not that I know a lot about recipes, but I know a lot of people that do know a lot about recipes.
Yeah. You could always have them feature on a show.
Yeah, for sure.
Help you cook it.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of be like Guy Friday just tasting it or something. Yeah. You know, that'd be pretty good. And it could be the fish you caught. Like,
yeah,
hey,
for
so
sure.
Now we're just gonna go do this. So
yeah.
Definitely I have a lot of ideas that I think about when I think about your channels, you know.
About. I'm open for anything, my man.
I want to see that. You have to send me a link when you create that outdoors page.
I will.
And we can share it on Facebook and stuff too.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But no, when I walked in here today, I was like, man, this is awesome. You know, I think I told you that way back when I took a business class, the SBA offered it and we had to write a business plan. And my business plan was opening a studio.
Yeah.
And that's what I always wanted to do because I played in a band for probably 10 years. And I always thought it would be cool to run a studio. So
yeah,
when Nick actually told me, and Kyle both told me about you having this, and I'm like, where's it at?
Yeah.
And so then when I was next door, I don't know, couple months ago I kind of peeked around and saw it, so
yeah,
that's awesome. I hope it just blows up for you, dude.
Thanks. I really appreciate it, man. I put a lot of time. I mean, people think I'm really young, so I haven't like learned enough about this, but I mean, I've been going really hard in it for like 6 years.
Yeah.
And not like,
well, you went to school too. I went to
2 schools and I switched states and I knew nobody just to do this and like stayed late, took extra classes and stuff. It just takes work. But like, I mean, any trade, if I worked this hard at being HVAC, I'd probably have my own HVAC company.
For sure.
If I worked this hard at plumbing, I'd have my own plumbing van. So
absolutely.
I mean, it's just once you find what you want to do, and this is what I want to do, and I don't know how the capacity will change, and less and less and less person-to-person interaction. Maybe I'll do more and more beats, mixes, more home studio consoles, but do them virtually, you know. So I'm trying to adapt to everything like that too, but...
I mean, have you ever thought about like helping? Not, I mean, just because I'm new at it. Have you ever thought about like maybe offering some kind of class online?
Dude. So yesterday I released that I'm going to be doing an intern program.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So funny because I was like, I bet he's going to say something like that. I've been thinking about it for a while. Originally, I was looking to hire an intern, just someone to come in for free, watch.
Yeah.
And then eventually maybe start contracting sessions I can't show up for.
Sure.
Or
bring in their own sessions.
Yeah. And then basically be paying me to use the space and then they could make whatever they could charge.
Absolutely.
The difference. Thought about doing that for a while. Couldn't find a lot of people. I'm sure people are right now like, I was interested, but you know, you got to be serious. You got to be able to show up and meet. You got, you know.
Yeah. You can't just come here
whenever.
2 times.
Yeah.
And...
But nobody even tried to come once. They just talked. So then I made this program and I am charging, but I'm charging like maybe less than 5% of what any other program would be to do this. And it's cool because it's called the VIP program, the Victory Intern Program. And
I like it.
Yeah, I had to have a slick name. And so me and my wife were kind of figuring that out. And so I decided I'm going to do that. And it's going to be like one-on-one sessions with me and then some sessions with clients. And I like it because then I don't have to raise my rates for my clients right now.
Sure.
So I can make more an hour in a way that doesn't charge the client more. But like, I can't just give away all that I'm learning for free and, you know,
no
access. And then like you know, you shouldn't do this obviously because it'd be a conflict of interest, but people could potentially be trying to siphon people off. So, you know, I can't just sell all my secrets for that because I paid tens of thousands to be where I'm at.
Right. For
and
sure.
And that was the efficient way, you know, it could have been more. So basically, I figured that, and I'm doing a very flexible, very affordable sort of program, and I want to see where it goes. I got like 10 or 15 people that said they're interested.
That'd be awesome.
But it could really help the studio because, you know, then I'll be able to get new mics sooner and show people all the mics and learn basic stuff like how to set up and break down a setup, but also actually how to dial in sound, mix, you know,
yeah,
and sort of well-rounded. But like, let's say you wanted to come in, you're like, I just want to know how to make beats. This is what I have. Then we could focus on that more so than recording. But no other program can you say day one, I want to do this. They'll say, yeah, we'll get to that week 20. And then you touch on it for a few days and then you're over with it. And it's like, that was why I came to learn beats.
Yeah.
Not just sound. And it was more specified. So I think
that's a great idea, yeah, man. So when I first started doing these YouTube videos, which I only have 5 right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been trying to do one a week, you know, but I'm very green at the editing part.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had the first video I shot, it took me probably 3 days to edit it because I kept having to go to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Up how to do what I wanted to do. And I use a program called Shotcut. So it's, you know, it's a pretty good program, but it's got a lot of parts and pieces. And
yeah,
if you don't know where to find what you want to do, you know, you have to YouTube it. Mm. So shout out to all those people who put the YouTube
Shotcut.
Yeah. Shotcut YouTube help videos. Cause I used them, but now I got it where I can probably edit it at maybe a 6-8 minute video in probably less than 2 hours. So
that's not bad.
No, I mean, I feel like, you know, from 3 days to 2 hours. Yeah. So, and that's only with 5 videos. So, but like I said, my goal is to get some better camera, better equipment, better lighting, better, you know, just, but I want to do it as a process. I don't want to just jump in and I want to learn. I want to learn why is my GoPro shooting, you know, this, I forget what they are, the pixels or whatever. Yeah. How can I make that better right now? You know, I just want to go through the process.
Right.
So I'm focused on it. You know, but I'm doing it all in the evenings because I'm still working my job, you know, every day. So it's definitely been an interesting learn, let's say.
Yeah.
So,
well, like I said, you'll have to let us know about when you get the Outdoors channel, and I'll post some links.
I appreciate that. I want to
check them out anyway. And then we'll share some stories. And maybe if you want to get back on after you get the outdoor session running, we could talk about like your first few episodes or
what
you learned or people who have maybe contacted you or DM'd you for collabs and stuff like that. I think
for
that'd be
sure
cool for
I'd
people
like
to see where it goes now that they've.
Now you got me thinking maybe I should hook one of those big tubes up to my boat and have somebody pull me around and fish from it.
Yeah.
Because you said water skiing and I probably can't do the water skiing. Yeah. I probably fall.
Well, you might
over.
Have to fall for some of these views.
Yeah, for sure. I would fall. There wouldn't be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I was thinking, just sitting in the, while we're sitting here today, I was thinking, I could just sit in a raft and fish.
Have them tell you kind of slowly.
Pulling me.
Yeah. Have
that'd
a beer
be great.
Or something. Yeah.
That'd be good.
That'd be a cool intro to the video too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
And so clickbait. But but yeah, so we want to see where that goes. So I appreciate you getting on here today.
Well, I most definitely appreciate the invite. I really do. I enjoyed it. So
definitely. Can you shout out your YouTube and Instagram one more time?
Yeah. So my YouTube is the OG Office Guy. My Instagram is JL Feaser Fishing. And then my OG Instagram is the OG Office Guy.
Hell yeah. So you can check Joe out there and then see maybe if you want to convert to his next type of content creation, which he'll probably post some sort of link or, you know, information about once that comes out. And I could see it kind of evolving for you again. So
I hope so. I mean, cool. I really do. And, you know, if I would tell you what that is right now, but I'm stuck on a couple names.
Yeah.
So
that's okay.
I just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah. So that's how it is sometimes. I had an album like that, and then I came out with the name, and it was like, couldn't have been better. We said the name of the album in like every song. So it turned out to be good that I waited, because I was going to just be like, let's just call it this.
Right.
So it's, sometimes it'll hit you and you'll know.
For sure.
Cool. So thanks for listening to Up Next Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the podcast, and check us out next Friday. Thanks.
Up Next Podcast.